This is the Preach Jacobs Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the Preach Jacobs Podcast. We are brought to you by Big Media and Coger Center for the Arts. Also, we're also sponsored by Soul House at Coger Center for the Arts. Make sure you go to our next event, Soul House Sessions at the Coger Center. It's going to be October the 22nd. It's going to be a ColoCon reunion. We're going to have a panel discussion with hip-hop artist Jay Live, Dre Lopez, Ebony Toussaint, and Stephen Prowse. The tickets are $10. We're also going to have an art exhibit that we're going to be opening that's going to have work from Sanford Green and Dan Lish, an artist out of London. Please, please, please come to it. You can get tickets from CogerCenterForTheArts.com or go to all of my social stuff, Preach Jacobs. If you listen to this podcast, all both of you, you know how to get in touch with me on social media. Thank you guys for all the love and the support. We have our next guest on the show. Really excited to have her. Saw her speak a few days ago at the Hoot. Shout out to the Hoot. This young lady is have experience as a project manager, grew up being involved with a small business, and a fellow Spring Valley graduate. We have Jessica S. Thomas, who's running for the mayor of Columbia, South Carolina. If you want more information, go to JessicaThomasForColumbia.com. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Get closer to the microphone. So I'm glad you're here. One of the things that I always want to start off with when I talk to people that are running, I always want to encourage Black and brown folks to get involved with the political platforms, to get involved in the community. But I'm also interested in what was the turning point. What was the thing that made you say, not only am I getting involved with politics, but why mayor? Why not a lower level of things to go out for? Why mayorship as opposed to city council or a council at large seat? What got you motivated and what made you say that I want to run for mayor at this time?
Well, I've always wanted to run for office. Mm-hmm. The first time that I ever really can remember conceiving anything political was during Obama's first presidential campaign. Mm-hmm. I remember what America felt like during that time, and it was just so hopeful, like so phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. People were so engaged and excited. It felt as though America was turning over a new page, a new leaf. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, I've always been engaged. I used to tell people I was going to be the very first Black woman president whenever I got older. So I've always known I was going to run for office. I thought it was going to be way later on in life, you know, at the typical age, like late 40s or early to late 40s.
I mean, don't talk about the 40s like it's such this terrible thing.
It's not. I was looking forward to it so that I could run for office. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I'd have more of a name, be more familiar around the city, just involved in more things. And then Trump came along. And, you know, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, we can all feel how crazy things are and like how apprehensive things have gotten. And last November, I, of course, voted for Kamala. But either way, when it comes to our elected officials, there should be an ability to be bipartisan, to reach across the aisle, to understand that solutions to people's problems don't have any sort of political affiliation. So I was waiting for one of them on our city council, or at any level, to be perfectly honest, for one of them to just be like, I understand some of you voted in the other direction. I see the posts. I hear the conversations. I feel the fear that the citizens of Columbia are feeling right now, how much apprehension there is about the future. Where are we going to go? And no one made a single comment. And they were just willing to just let us sit here. And regardless of how we vote, I feel as though we're all American citizens. And we should know that they have our best interest at heart, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And there was just no kind of effort. The very first post that Rickaman made about Trump or anything related to national politics was an apologetic post. And it was 3 months after he'd been inaugurated. This is well after small business owners, other individuals had been just wallowing in their fear. And regardless of whether you think it's a founded fear or overconflated or whatever it is, it's still people's fears, like our neighbors' fears. Something should have been said about it. I don't think that it was any strict clear moment, but more of a buildup of pressure. And I just decided, you know, why not?
Yeah. But I'm wondering, you know, if anything, running for any type of like local office, there's an opportunity there to go out into the community, to meet people, to talk to people, to hear their concerns, to hear what they think is working well with Columbia, the things that should be worked on. During your campaign trail, what are, I guess, a few of the main concerns that you're hearing the public bring up to you that should be something that you could focus on if you're elected mayor? Which, by the way, guys, vote November the 4th. November the 4th, please, please, please come out to local elections, November the 4th. So yeah, what are some of the things that the constituents and the community is saying are issues that are really, really important to them in the community?
I did want to touch on that, but I did skip some part of your question, the first question. Mm-hmm. I chose mayor because we have a strong, weak mayor system. So everybody has one vote. They're all votes are exactly equal. Mm-hmm. But the mayor has sole purview over the budget. He gets to introduce the budget every year. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to take a very, very comprehensive look at how we spend our money and where everything goes and how we can better distribute it. So that's why I picked mayor.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. As far as your second question, the most prolific complaint is definitely affordability. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be rent, food, groceries, mortgage, whatever it is, everybody says the number one thing is affordability and fears on how they can get ahead. I've talked to people who have a two-income household and they make over $125,000 and they feel as though they are too close to the edge for them to properly save up anything substantial for them. They have young kids, they want to start a college savings account, and they just feel as though they're just too close for them to meaningfully contribute to that.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think is really, really interesting is that you're still in your 20s, and I'm gonna say your age, but and you could say, but I don't do it. But ideally, it's one of those things where when I speak to younger candidates, and especially candidates of color, there's always this this difficulty to get younger people involved, younger people engaged. I think a lot of times when we're speaking to younger people, whether college age or not, there's always this assumption that the only elections that are available or that matter are national elections. And from that perspective, I can understand that plight of feeling like, you know, South Carolina is a red state, where Columbia technically has, I wouldn't say Columbia is blue, but Columbia has blue tendencies at times, or blue capable. How would you get people your age and younger that, you know, not everyone is like you to say that, hey, in my 20s, I'm going to run for mayor. How do you feel like you can get younger people engaged with the political process to say, hey, voting is something important, it's something to get engaged in for local elections, not just national things? What are the things that you can say to that person that's on the fence to say, I don't want to get up on November the 4th and vote? How do you encourage them to get involved?
That's a really good question. I'm 28. So I understand. I get the feelings of hopelessness and disengagement that people have had with politics and government overall. However, to a certain extent, the national politics, I don't want to say they don't matter as much, but they kind of don't. If you want to feel direct impact and change in your communities from your vote, the local elections are where it's at. Mm-hmm. You have the most ability to make the most change when you're taking part in your local elections. Also, the only qualifications to have run for mayor was to be 18 years old. Of course, you'd want your mayor to have more ability and experience and ideas. But the barriers for entry the qualifications for entry are very, very low. And that was part of why I ran as well. That was a big motivating factor. I wanted people to see that if me at 28 years old, my weird and working class self, can get up there and get my name on the ballot and run for office, then why not you? Why not anybody else? I mean, honestly, what are we waiting for? We've seen the only thing we haven't tried at this point is actually just getting ourselves up and running for office. Mm-hmm. And really, really switching up the ballot. That's pretty much all we have left. We've tried the protests. The Democrats have tried some things, and really, the last thing is as a member of the younger or the kind of peripherals of society, if you are a more of a unique individual than the person we usually see in office, the last thing we've really tried to do as those people is get ourselves on the ballot. Not saying we haven't at all, but as a concerted effort, no, we haven't. We have all the power. I want people to remember that. Trump is just one little person. And all of the people after that are all just smaller branches of the government. The power starts at the bottom. We can get ourselves elected at the local state level and make so much of a stride than we can trying to get ourselves immediately onto these big ticket positions.
What's your origin story, right? Like, I feel like one of the advantages, it can be seen as a disadvantage if people don't know much about you, but it can also be an advantage where you have an opportunity to really create the visual that people should see. And it's an opportunity for them to learn who you are. Tell us about your background, where you grew up, how you grew up, and how did all of that come together to get you involved into saying, hey, I want to be the mayor?
Well, my parents split whenever I was very young. So before I was 1 year old, and my mom moved down to Newberry, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we grew up just me, her, and my sister until I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I was such a sensitive kid, like very, very observant. I don't know if, I don't know what all that was about, but that's just how I came out into the world. And I remember from a really early age just being interested in people's stories. Mm-hmm. What brought them here? Why did they choose South Carolina? What brought them into, we were staying with my mom's friend and she had a clothing store down in Newberry. So we'd go there every day or my mom would take me out for walks around town. And I'd always want to ask people, why are you here at this park? What brings you here? What do you like about the city? Who are you basically? I always just wanted to know who people, just what was inside of them, what motivated them. I've always been one of those people who thinks that every individual you come across has something to teach you. Mm-hmm. And my mom purchased her, well, now I'm skipping a little bit ahead. I'm half Black and half Korean. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, I spent a lot of time in the Korean society in Columbia. And we also lived in Lexington and it was kind of racist over there. Mm-hmm. I love Lexington. No shame on Lexington. But as a child, I went to Oak Grove Elementary School and there was very little Black people there and about 3 or 4 Asian kids. So as a mixed kid, especially in a very conservative city, I just existed on the edge to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't have the ability to socialize and make friends with these individuals, but I'd go to their birthday parties and I'd always feel a little bit othered. Not on any part of theirs, just it's just how our society was here in the South. You know, it just kind of is like that. And of course, it's 2025, so things are getting way better. But as a child, that's just how it was. And you just grow up with a certain perception of that. As a kid, you don't have the words for it, but you feel it and you know it. I believe that it was James Baldwin who said that around like the age of 5 or 6, you become aware that you are a color, you know, something other. And so not because I'm not saying that because I want people to feel pity for me. It was just very mind open. Like it kept my mind very open to people and where they come from and who they are. And my mom, she bought her first restaurant whenever I was 8 years old. She bought Whataburger and Casey. I used to work the cash register there and I met everybody. The most racist of people, the most kind of people, veterans, moms, single dads, recently incarcerated, everybody. And even the meanest people, I realized from a really early age that you can reach those people by just extending a little bit of kindness. Hmm. It doesn't even have to be kindness a lot of times. It could literally just be not reacting whenever they're a dick to you about something.
Yeah.
And as a customer service, I had no issue doing that. But also just as a person, I never had an issue doing that because I at some point decided that I want to have the type of love where it's not conditional, where if I decide that I'm going to love you or be kind to you, I'm just going to do it. It doesn't matter if you mess up. It doesn't matter how you show up on certain days. I just want to have the type of love and support for people that they know that they can be themselves and I'll still always be there.
Absolutely.
Sorry, not to.
No, you did. No, this is your time to talk as much as you want.
No, you're fine. But I think that gave me a really great perspective for living in South Carolina, because you do kind of have to have an ability to, I mean, as a person of color, to blend in certain spaces. If you want to just get things done or get a promotion or get a good job, you just have to be able to play the game sometimes. And I hate to call it a game, but it is what it is. And that's also part of why I'm running, you know, because who's telling us that we can't change things? I just don't understand it. It's difficult for sure, but all of the best things in life are difficult. If it comes easy, was it even really worth it? I mean.
Yeah, I think the thing about anything that's politically motivated, I think there's always this conversation that you have to wait your turn, right? There's always this idea of, you know, you have to have some seasoning on the chicken a little bit. You have to be, you know, a little bit older, or you have to have some experience that people can look into. And whether or not that's fair or not, there might be some people that would look at you being 28 years old and being younger, and you probably still get carded when you go to restaurants and go to bars. You know, for the people that would look at someone like you being younger running for this type of position as looking at as a negative, what would be your counter to that? What would be your thing that would encourage or calm down the nerves of someone speaking to such a younger person in the community that's going to represent them as the mayor?
Well, firstly, we've seen where having people in office for 20, 30 years has gotten us. Hmm. Let's be honest, a lot of the skills, the fiscal finance, like financial responsibility, all that, networking skills, those are things that you pick up on the job. And those are things that I have picked up through my job experience. The important part of it is the values. You know, you're not voting for just me or just Rickman or just Wade Fulmer. You're voting for our values and our vision and how we intend to take Columbia into the future. All the rest of that aspects, the more bureaucratic stuff that I know people are worried about, I will have an entire council to work with. It's not a strong mayor system. It is a council, a weak mayor and council form of government. We will work as a team collaboratively. And if I do bring any outrageous or unfair or inconsiderate, which I don't intend to, policies to the table, there'll be six other members to share their input and, you know, safeguard the citizens of Columbia. However, my whole platform is about being people-centered and genuinely considerate about the problems going on in their lives. I don't intend to favor anybody. I don't intend to raise anybody's taxes or slow our growth in any form or fashion. It's all about returning agency and stability to the citizens of Columbia, no matter where you fall in your yearly salary or on the political spectrum.
I'm wondering, I was speaking to a potential council at large hopeful earlier, and he was talking about his approach. Jared Johnson was talking about his approach to not fundraise at all for his campaign, which is a totally interesting approach for any type of political office. I understand that sometimes there is difficulties with fundraising and getting people to know who you are and introducing yourself to the community. What have been some of the challenges that you've come across being, I'm assuming this is your first time running for any type of office, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you've learned being a first time candidate for an office? And what are some of the things that have been surprisingly pleasant with this process?
As far as fundraising goes, none of it has been very pleasant. I'll be honest about that. It's been an uphill battle the entire time. I've been fighting for my life for every dollar I've gotten. Mm-hmm. It's a process. And I do think we should take some of the big expectations of money out of it. I don't care to disparage the Democratic Party at all, so I won't touch that topic. But there just needs to be more candidate support. we need to support our future hopeful candidates, anybody who's potentially interested in running for office. I feel as though on the other side of it, you can kind of just whisper out into the void, I want to run for office. And a Republican pops up at your door and is like, you plan on running? Here's your support network. Here's $20,000. I don't know if that's true or not. It just feels like that because of how easy it seems to get yourself started on for their team.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it has been an uphill battle as far as fundraising goes and finding support for figuring out fundraising and just finding support has been difficult.
When was that process? When was that moment that you knew or did you file just like, I'm doing this? Like how far in that process was this?
When I filed and when I decided?
Yeah, when you was like, you know what, let's go.
I decided last December, mm-hmm. but I didn't officially file until August.
Okay. Well, why the delay?
There's a filing period and it starts and closes in August.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of the filing period, did the community know about your intention to run, or was this something that just hit people brand new, you know?
In August?
Yeah.
No, I'd kind of soft launched it a little bit to my community in about February, starting in about February to March. And as I gained more traction, more people learned about it.
Okay. So I'm wondering, if there was someone that was like you, that was like, hey, I'm in my 20s, maybe not running for mayor, but they want to run for a different type of office, what would be your sales pitch to get them to get involved politically?
To just do it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I know that sounds so corny, but just like Nike said it, just do it. There is nothing stopping you except for some difficult moments and some obstacles, but that's with anything in life. It's not brand new. There's so much to gain. And really not that much to lose. We already lost it all, kind of.
Listen, so public, vote November the 4th. My question is, if November the 5th, you wake up and it's like, holy snap, I'm the mayor. And you get in, you're the mayor of Columbia. What are three things that you're really passionate about that you want to see impact Columbia as soon as possible? That you feel like you have a hand in, that you can help out with this position?
Only three?
You can give me more, but just give me at least three.
Okay. I'm going to standardize our rent. I'm going to lower taxes for small business owners. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do it. USC, I'm coming for you. I'm going to figure out a way to get some money from them. That way we can lower the business taxes.
I was going to say, USC, I'm coming for you. That's the campaign shirt.
Everybody thinks I'm going to raise their taxes for my platform, but I'm not. I have a plan, and it involves USC. I am going to grow opportunity for all of us, every zip code, regardless of what you look like, what walk of life you come from. And I'm going to make Columbia a more inclusive city. Part of becoming mayor is giving Columbia a face that is diverse, new, young, and representative of more than 50% of the people that live here. We are a working class city, mm-hmm. working class leadership for a working class city. And I'd like to close the wealth gap. I can't do that immediately once I'm in office, but I can definitely work. As soon as I get into office, I can put some steps into place that get that ball rolling.
What is some of the experiences when you're saying that you grew up working in your mother's restaurant? What were some of those experiences working for a small business taught you that you can bring to the table as a candidate for mayor of Columbia?
Well, I definitely have a respect for hard work. We used to go there 6 days a week, and we'd get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'd leave at 9:45, 10 o'clock at night.
How old were you when you were working there?
I started at 8.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. And she never paid me. Not the entire time that I worked there, not until I was 21 years old. So it was just about the dedication and respect, kindness, and consideration that all that is what goes into making a community genuinely strong. You have to see each other, hear each other, and care about each other. And this whole mentality that it's cool to be mean or cool to be careless, I think that's just a reaction to a system that's set up to make us all only focused on money. I know my platform sounds like it's all just about like money, this giving free things away, but it's not. It's about giving our citizens an actual sense of agency back over their lives. And I think the best pathway to doing that is by giving people stability and a way to feel like they have control over their money and their future again. That's what goes in. That's what part of becoming a small business owner is. You know, you go from a 9-to-5 or a corporate job where you have benefits and all these other things, and you take a bet on yourself. You know, you take a bet that you have this idea, or you trust that you have something in yourself that is worth quitting that cushy, reliable job for and going to, you know, pretty much bleed, sweat, and cry over over your investment that you're going to try your best to get up off the ground. I've seen that. I know what goes into that. I felt that because I watched my mom go through it. And I know what it's like whenever, you know, there's downturns in the economy, customers stop coming by, people stop buying, people stop booking. I get it. You know, I really get what kind of toll that takes on you as a person and what kind of ability you still have to show up in spaces like as a mom or as a dad or as a friend to people. You know, you have a lessened ability when you're worrying about things like that. I know what it's like to make decisions over people's lives. Like if you cut someone's hours, that's less money that they're taking home. All of that stuff, it's very multifaceted. But, you know, you pick up the experiences, you pick up the ability and the, what am I looking for? Basically your resume skills, the things you put on your resume. You pick all that up through not just work and, you know, who you know and all the rest of that stuff. You pick it up through life, like living a full life and being engaged in life and learning from the lessons that you need to, I mean, learning what you need to from the times you mess up and carrying those lessons with you. So it's all, in my personal opinion, given me a very good, it's given me the ability to have a good perspective on a multitude of different factors that I think would be important into making a good, considerate and intelligent mayor. And also to just, like the bedside table manner, essentially, making a city feel genuinely like home. It's not just about investment dollars and growth and all the rest of that stuff, and policy, fiscal, financial, all that. It's not just that. It's genuinely about making a city feel like a safe, welcoming, and thriving place to live. And we need to do that by giving real support to our working families.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad you got a chance to speak with you today. I know that I always encourage people, you know, when I see younger people getting involved in the political process, I'm always excited and ecstatic that they're getting involved, because a lot of times it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged when you're trying to raise money. It's easy to get discouraged when you're going to speak at places and it's raining outside and cold as hell and trying to figure things out. So for anybody that keeps it, moves it forward, I really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate you sitting here today and having a conversation with me. Once again, November the 4th, please go and vote. We have Jessica S. Thomas here. If you want to find more information, go to jessicathomasforcolumbia.com. November the 4th, you'll be voting for whoever you want to vote for. Find more information. I think that she has been really, really open to communication. So if you go to the website, you can check her out. What is your Instagram for people who want to reach out to you?
Jessica Thomas for mayor.
Oh, so difficult. But yeah, make sure you check her out as well. Once again, this is Preach Jacobs with the Preach Jacobs podcast. Make sure you go to our next event, the Soul House Sessions at Coker Center for the Arts. Go to CokerCenterForTheArts.com. October 22nd is the next one. It's a Colacon reunion. We're going to have a conversation with hip hop artist Jay Live, Dre Lopez, Ebony Toussaint from Aurora Comics, and comic book writer Stephen Prowse. We're also going to have an art exhibit that you're going to get a sneak peek on with artists like Sanford Green and Dan Lish from London. Please, please, please get your tickets. You can go to CokerCenterForTheArts.com or go to all my social media, which is Preach Jacobs. Find all that stuff there. Thank you guys for listening. Any last words for our listeners?
Just go vote. Your voice has power. Do not underestimate it. I know it's easy to stay disengaged, but one of the most spiteful things you can do right now is go vote these people out.
All right. Well, USC, she's coming for you. Until next time, thank you guys for listening to the Preach Jacobs podcast. Peace.
The The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.